Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message. I believe this message is going to encourage you guys today, because it's preaching to me. This is something the Lord's been showing me about my own life, and the Lord gets me so I can get you. That's why you need to pray for your pastors, because if we don't get God, you can't get God. Right? So we need your prayers, and I'd like to just ask, you know, to challenge you guys, would you please step up your prayers for us, for my mom and dad and for me, coming into, you know, the transition, possessing this building, possessing this ministry. There is a heightened pressure in the spirit too, but we're breaking through, and I want to say in Jesus' name, we got this. You guys got this. We're sons of God. We got this. So if you're experiencing more pressure than you're used to right now, it's because we're coming into a new season of ministry and there's spiritual opposition. But we got this, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Well, let me just pray real quick and I'll get to the message. Father, we thank you right now for your presence. We thank you, Lord. We're so honored that we can come and spend time with each other. And Lord, as we're in the light, Lord, that we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses of all sin. Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak through me exactly what I need to say, that you give me utterance, that you'd show me what to say, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's title, if I'm going to give it a title, I want to call it, Believe in Him, This is the Work of God. How many of you are feeling overwhelmed with your daily life? You don't have to raise your hands unless you want to. How, you know, responsibilities, worries, cares. This message is for you. This message is for me. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, discouraged, worried, this message is for you. John 6, 28 through 29, it says, "Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.'" So, and I know a lot of you are, we have a really plugged in church. You know, people really, I believe a Christian wants to serve the Lord. We want to do something. We want to bless our neighbor. We want, this is the crazy thing, cool thing about Christianity is it's real. If it wasn't for Christianity, you know, there wouldn't be education, there wouldn't be women's rights, there wouldn't be hospitals. There wouldn't be all these wonderful things, because Christianity changes how we think and it brings us to help other people. Humanism doesn't do that of itself. It's the light of the gospel that brings these things into our nation and to other nations throughout the world. So Christians, we want to do stuff for people. We want to bless people. We want to help people. But we get so caught up in good things that we forget what is the work of God is to believe on him, on Jesus. The Lord spoke that to me. I was getting stressed out, and he spoke that to me, and I was like, you know what? Jesus, believing in him is that. That's it. That is the work of God, is to believe in Jesus. And as we believe on Jesus and we're around other people, their lives will be changed. Isn't that cool? If you believe in Jesus and if you're around other people, their lives will be changed. That's exciting. And we don't have to work it up. Just believe. Use your faith. That's so simple. That's what the gospel is. Let's not make anything more complicated. Believe in Jesus. The word says you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You confess with your mouth he's Lord. You will be saved. That's simple. Let's keep it there. And he'll work out all the theology. Yes, we got to have good teaching. Yes, it matters who you're around. But what matters is who you believe on. That's Jesus. And then in John 6:38 and 40, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And verse 40 says, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." So our job is to believe in Jesus, and it's to find out what is the will of God. What is God, what does he want you to do? And that was challenging me because I have so many things that I want to do, that I think I need to do, that are pressing at me, that I have to do. But the question is, do you really know what God's will is for you to do? You know, I hope everyone in here has spent time seeking God about his will for their life. You know, I think if you haven't done that, that's where you should start. For the young people in the room, the teenagers and the 20-somethings, it's so important as you seek the Lord when you're young, because he'll give you a better trajectory in your life because you're seeking him, and he'll put things in your heart and you'll start moving towards them. So if you haven't sought the Lord, if you haven't prayed, you know, if you haven't fasted, I encourage you to do those things and ask the Lord. You know, ask your pastors. You know, maybe the Lord, you know, that's what pastors are for. I think Americans, we start to forget that, you know, pastors are here for spiritual guidance. God gets men and women of God so that you can bounce off your decisions on us. Because it's not about us being in charge or, you know, over you. It's about God speaks to us. God speaks to me. I mean, Moses and Joshua, God spoke to them. God chooses men for a reason. You know, he puts men in the fivefold ministry for a reason. And I don't say this braggadociously. That's what Brother Jerry says. He says, you know, he declares, I'm a prophet of God, because Brother Jerry's a prophet. God puts us in this ministry, not because we're better than you, but because he chose us. He didn't, you know, he hasn't chosen you yet. You know what I'm saying? If you're not in a fivefold ministry, maybe God will put you there. But he hasn't. So I encourage you. I see that, you know, throughout my life watching mom and dad, that people, they don't seek godly counsel. They just make their own decisions. And I don't know why I'm saying this today. It's not my notes. I can prove it. It's not my notes. But it's important, you know, don't just do things on your own. Yeah, we got to make decisions on our own. It's important. But as Americans, we're so prone to be isolate ourselves and to do things by ourselves. And don't forget to seek the godly advice of men and women of God. All right, so the will of God. If you haven't sought the will of God, seek the will of God. And if you have, maybe God wants to give you a course correction. And that's kind of how I'm feeling. The Lord's like, hey, stop. Maybe you're not doing everything that's really important. All right, I'm here to do the will of God, not my own will. I must seek out what it is the Lord would have me do. We're running around trying to do so many things. The Lord's question is, have you sought him out to find out what his will is for your life? What does he want you to do? And don't be so quick to answer. It may be completely different than what you are doing right now. Are your priorities really and truly his priorities? Do the things that you think matter really matter to him? Are the ways you spend your time really important to him? If not, why are you not doing his will? Why are you not doing things his way? You know, Matthew 6:33, it says, and this is the Amplified, it says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness. And it defines righteousness as his way of doing and being right. The attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. God wants us to seek after his ways of doing. You know, that's a real reason why we have to read the scripture. We're reading through the Old Testament right now, and it's dawned on me so strongly. I love the law of God because I don't know. I don't know how to think. The law of God is right, and it tells me how to think. It tells, you know, if the nation would just listen to the law of God, we would prosper. People would be blessed. God's ways are right. So we need to seek his ways of doing things. And you know what? Even in our church, we might not be doing things completely like God wants us to do. That's why we have to constantly look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Look at Jesus. And Jesus will show us how to do it. And he'll show us. Thank you, Lord. So this is my second point, is So my first point is we're here, that Jesus, I'll give you points because I didn't have notes today for the home groups. First thing is we have to believe, the work of God is to believe in Jesus, believe on Jesus. And the second thing is we need to find out the will of the Lord, because that's the only thing that matters, right? If the job you're in right now is not God's will, you better find out what his will is for you. Or, you know, the educational path, or, you know, whatever, however that looks in your life. If you're not in the right place, you need to find out God's will. And then thirdly, from John 10:10, our enemy steals, kills, and destroys, but our Jesus gives us life and life in abundance. Thank you, Lord. I translated, I like to give you a different translation so that we don't have like this, you know, everybody has it in their heart and it's good, but I want you to hear a verse in a different way so that you can hear it. Sometimes if we have it in our minds, if we have it memorized, it's rote, which means you just say it, you don't hear it. It doesn't enter your heart because you just say it. So I translated this out of the Die Volksbibel, the German Bible. It's in English. It says, the thief only wants his own advantage. He steals from you and wants to break everything. In contrast, I want to empower you with a genuinely and totally fulfilled life. Jesus wants to empower us with a genuinely and totally fulfilled life. He wants us to be fulfilled. He wants us to have that life that's abundant. That's not just, you know, everyday cloud of life. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to really enjoy life and enjoy him and love other people. I just like to say, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. If the devil can't get you to stop serving the Lord, I know many of you are there. He's not going to get you to stop serving the Lord, right? Because you made a decision in your heart. I was just sharing with the teens last night, Sunday morning, I hope everyone in here just is thrilled and enjoys Sunday morning. But if you're not one of those people, and I'll tell you, I was there where I didn't enjoy Sunday morning. But I'm going to tell you, your Sunday morning or your just service, coming to church, whatever, it's going to get a lot better when you hear this, is that you have to come to a choice in your heart that you would be having Sunday church if no one else showed up. Because that's what Christians do, right? So if everybody fell away or moved away or was called to Africa and it was just you and Longmont, would you be having Sunday church? I encourage you, that you got to come to that choice in your heart. I'm going to serve Jesus regardless of anyone else. And that's, we have to follow Jesus. You know the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Though none come with me, I will follow. I encourage every Christian to come to that choice in your heart. I will serve the Lord. Come hell or high water, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a church. Amen. Because it's right. Amen. And then you're going to start enjoying your life a lot more. Yes. So that, I hope that speaks to somebody. So if the devil can't stop you from serving the Lord, he will try to overwhelm you with serving the Lord. Ha! Right? If the devil can't stop you from serving the Lord, he will try to overwhelm you with serving the Lord. You know, this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to. And you're like, what? I can't do it. And it, so like, I really see that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. If he can't get you down, he's going to try to rob your joy. You know, he's going to try to steal things from you. He's going to try to find some way in to get you to feel overwhelmed, like you can't handle it, and to just start messing with you. But we're not going to give him room. No. You know, there's a verse that it says, I think it's in Revelation, that it says that Satan is trying to wear the saints down. He wants to wear you down because we're not going to stop serving the Lord. So he's going to try to wear you down. He's going to try to drive you into the ground with service. Right? And how he does this, I'll tell you, is he wants to get you from faith into works. If he can get you from faith into works, he's got you. And the Lord is showing me this. He wants to get you into works. And what does that mean? Good works can be dead if you're not mixing your faith. And that's amazing about the Christian life, is if you're not working in faith, you might as well not do anything. You got to work in faith, because that's how we get results. The word says the just shall live by faith. You know, Martin Luther had that great revelation, the just shall live by his faith. Also, where was I going with that? Yeah, the just shall live by his faith. So, and I also wrote here, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Satan wants to come in and cause trouble in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Lord, I thank you right now for just utterance right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. I take authority over any attack in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for penetrating the darkness with the light of the gospel in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for helping me say exactly what needs to be said today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the word says that you can't please God without faith. You can't please God without faith. So if you're trying to please God somehow by doing something for him, it doesn't please him because you have to use your faith to do it. You know, Abraham, he believed before he was circumcised, before the law. He was justified by his faith, not by all the works of the law. He was, and that's, we're like Abraham now. God's brought us into that. We have to use our faith to get things done. We have to use our faith. So what does your work style look like? I bet this is a message you've never heard before. You know, we hear, you know, business people or whatever, they talk about work style, workflow, you know, priorities, blah, 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 all that stuff, which is important. What does your work style look like? Is it faith or works? Is it life or death? And I've never seen this before, but the Lord showed this to me the other day at Starbucks of all places. Romans 4:4, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And I was like, that just hit me so strong, because I was like, you know what? My work is not pleasurable because I'm working in works, not in faith. That's good. It's crazy. You're working, but you're actually working for debt. But when you start to operate in faith, then it becomes a joy, a pleasure. It doesn't matter what your job is. You could be, you know, I've done manual labor in cold rain all day. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're doing that or not, because the word says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So it doesn't matter what your job is. If you're where God has you right now and you start to do it in faith, then God will give you that joy that of his salvation, that joy and that pleasure of the Lord. Because if you're working with a bad attitude, if you're not even a bad attitude, just working to work, you got to plug your faith into the thing. You got to start plugging your faith in, because if you're not, then your works are just adding up debt, more debt, debt. Now, I'm not talking about physical debt necessarily, you know, not in the bank or whatever, but debt in the spirit, debt in your soul, and you just start to feel burdened, and you're just like, and your emotions start to wear down. But God is saying that we need to work. Our work style needs to be of faith, and that faith produces life. Works produce death, because they're dead. All right? So I'll read that again, Romans 4:4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So that's talking about, what is the work of God? What did I say earlier? Yeah, what is the work of God? To believe on Jesus. Let's say that. The work of God is to believe on Jesus. So that's exactly what this is saying here. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So I'll be clear. God is telling us we need to work. That's what Christians do. We work. You guys should be the hardest workers at your job. You should be the hardest workers at your business for your employer. You should be the hardest workers. You should be the most excellent people. You know, Daniel and his friends were 10 times more excellent than their instructors. They had more wisdom. And they weren't prideful about it, but we should be more excellent than the world. We should be working harder. And the danger, I'll tell the millennials, the generation, was it XYZ, Y and Z?
The danger is we're starting to lose that work ethic as a nation, as a people, because we think, oh, I deserve to be American. I had that mentality coming out of college. I thought, hey, I've worked hard for a college degree. I deserve, you know, 70 grand a year or whatever. I had that mentality. I never have to take another test again. Well, guess what? Life is the test. If you don't think you ever have to take a test again in your life, you're stupid. You know? That's what I thought. I was stupid. I was like, no more tests, no more books. I'm never going to read again. Like, no, that is stupid. You're foolish. Life is a test. You better own it and do your best. Right? So we're not entitled. Christians, we should work hard. That Protestant work ethic, you know, in the United States, we need to work hard. And we need to provide for our families. That's part of it. So I'm not talking about work. I'm talking about using your faith while you're working. Okay? So if your daily work feels burdensome and like bondage, too heavy, taxing, overwhelming, it is because you're not working or living by faith, but in dead works. You're earning dead wages, debt, not living wages of life. Only faith can please God. If you're not working and living by faith, with faith that is awake, I like to call your faith awake. Your faith can be sleeping or it can be awake. So is your faith sitting there sleeping, you know, snoring, or is it awake, working in the fields for you? If with faith that is awake, then you're actually getting more and more in debt. Your joy will be sucked out of your daily life because you're working for wages of debt, not wages of life, in believing in Christ Jesus. So, and this goes to every person. It goes to, you know, it goes from the priest to the laity, like whatever. Like if you're in the fivefold ministry or whatever you're called into service. You know, whatever sphere of influence, they're all sacred to God if you're serving the Lord, if you're obeying Him, if you are believing on Him. So this applies to everyone in every realm of life. I'd rather please God with my work and have it be life-giving than dead of works that are death-giving. And in John chapter 6, Jesus was talking about where it was saying that the work of the ministry is to believe on Jesus. The work of God is to believe on Jesus. Jesus was revealing Himself as the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And what did Jesus say? He said, if Jesus is the bread of life, what is His bread? He said, my bread is to do the work, the will of the Father. And so that's what Jesus did. If He is the bread of life and He had to do the will of the Father, then how much more do we have to do the will of the Father? And what I love, and we've learned this a lot, the evangelism team, we've learned that we need to do what we see. You know, and this is exciting. You need to see and do. Jesus said, I only do the things I see my Father doing. You know, you just need to see what the Lord shows you to do, and you need to do it. You see and do. You hear and obey. That is what we need to do. So how many of us are truly doing only the things we see our Father doing? And that's challenging me. Like all the things that are bombarding us in our life, everybody is probably as busy as everyone else. You know, because we just fill our time. That's just how we do things. Just figure out a way to fill your time. But I'd like us to ask the Lord, what is Your will? What is Your will? What do You want me to be doing? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Well, let's just pray that right now. Father, let's just pray it in your own heart. Father, we just ask, Lord, that You would show us what it is Your will. What is Your will for us to do in our lives? Lord, we don't want to be running around busying ourselves with things that don't matter and aren't important. Lord, the work of the ministry is to believe on Jesus. And I'm asking, Lord, that You would highlight the things in our lives that don't matter and should go. And I pray that You give us the courage to not focus on them and to not even do them, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who have never sought Your will for their lives. I pray that You would stir them up to do that, Lord. And as they seek You, Lord, that You'll find them and they'll find You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. I also want to talk about the rest of faith. There's a rest of faith that we can enter into. So let's go to Hebrews real quick. This is really amazing what the rest of faith is. In Hebrews, he's talking about the Israelites where God, he promised them a promised land. And he said, go possess the promised land. And some of them entered into that rest, and most of them didn't. And they died because of unbelief and rebellion. And when the Lord promises us something, we can receive it by faith. We can enter into that promise, that rest of faith. It says in chapter 4 of Hebrews, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundations of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. I'm going to skip down a little bit. In verse 9 it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we talk about the good fight of faith, you know, in the Christian life, that we have to wage a good warfare, we need to fight the good fight of faith. And what I believe the fight of faith is entering into the rest of God. It's not fighting people, it's not wrestling with people. It's waging a good warfare by the prophecies given to us, the promises that God shows us. You know, John found himself in the scripture. He said, I'm the one in the wilderness. That's me because I found myself in the scripture. So we have to find the promises of God in the scripture, and we need to start entering into that rest by faith. So I want to encourage you guys to start working in faith. To start working in faith. I want to share you, since I showed this video about Nepal, I want to share you with you a story real quick, my own personal experience. I don't know if I've actually shared Dad or Mom this yet, but the Lord gave me a very unique way to believe for that trip, and that was to enter into the rest of faith. And it just kind of occurred to me, I think maybe a couple weeks before I went, and I was sitting in my bed at night, and I said, you know what? It says, therefore, there remains a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And so I saw that, and I said, there's a rest for me to receive for this trip. So I said, Lord, I receive this trip, I count it done, as if I were sleeping in my bed the night I return. That's how I received that trip. And it was so special because there was such a grace on that trip. And I know because my faith, I was walking in faith and grace and not works. And I had the best plane flights I've ever had. I actually got to sleep, you know, and I haven't slept on planes really much at all before, unless you're just completely exhausted. But what the Lord showed me how to do is enter into that rest of faith, because it says the good works are done. They're done. If you can receive it, your destiny is complete. You know, if you can receive it, this building is paid for. You know, if you can receive it, God has added to us 400 people. You know, if you can receive it, God has healed your body. If you can receive it, he's provided you the job you want. If you can receive it, he's provided you your house. If you can receive it, he's forgiven you of your sins. That is the power of the message of grace, is it's done. It's done. Jesus said it's finished. He provided for everything, spirit, soul, body, everything you'd ever need. Jesus provided for it. The answer is Jesus. And so this is the rest of faith God has for us. He has a promised land for you that you have to use your faith to enter into. And so the Lord, I'm excited to share this message today because the Lord just showed me you're not using your faith with your work. That's why it's becoming overwhelming and burdensome. It's because you're not, you know, we're not in the yoke with him. And you know what? Where is he? He's done. Right? He's done. Jesus finished the whole thing. He tells us how it ends. The whole thing ends. And that's so cool, is we can, by faith, we appropriate the promises, right? by faith, we receive the promises. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I got a verse. This is the word of the Lord to me. And I believe because it's to me, it's to our church. I read this. I was just feeling so overwhelmed. 2 Chronicles 7:11. It says, Matthew successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. I count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's a verse the Lord gave me personally. And just like the trip, I counted it done before it started. I count this building paid for. I count these seats full in Jesus' name. I count the everything remodeled just like we want. I count all the technology here, all the things we need. I count all the ministries started. I count all the home groups full and multiplied. I count these things done in Jesus' name. Amen. I count the new leaders raised up. I count the teen ministry bursting at the seams. I count these things done. Because we're going to walk in faith. We're going to walk in grace. We're not going to do this by works. Praise the Lord. Lord, we exalt you today. Lord, we count these things done in our own lives. We count them done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us step into the faith, Lord, that we would be laying up wages of life, Lord, and not debt. Lord, we thank you for it today. Lord, I pray you'd give everyone verses that they can start to work with. Lord, and that I pray for a new joy and pleasure on us, Lord, as we serve you, Lord. A new joy and pleasure to love each other. A new joy and pleasure to love and reach out to people. Lord, I thank you that, you know, this invitation in Celtic evangelism is not, we're not going to do it by debt. We're not going to do it by works. It's going to be done by love and by faith and by grace. I thank you, Lord, we don't have to force something outside of our personalities. Lord, we thank you that we can just work it because it's by faith and by grace. So, Lord, I receive this word today, Lord, to enter into the rest. And I pray that my brothers and sisters would as well. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.